So let me first ask you, I mean, I'm seeing numbers here that the number of detainees that Immigration and Customs Enforcement facilities are housing right now has reached the highest point ever, some 45,000 single adults and family units. And in fact, it's so overcrowded that ICE is now sometimes dropping off people just at bus stations. Some 600 migrants dropped off with no advance planning in El Paso in the last full week of December. I mean, what's your sense like? What are you seeing or hearing about what's going on in your district, first of all?
Well, generally, you know, you have the same thing. Look, this is what's happened. ICE, or if it's the nonprofits that hold the kids, the honor company kids, just do not have sufficient detention beds. So therefore, if there's not enough sufficient beds, what they do is they generally drop them off at bus stations, and then at the bus stations, they will call family members or friends or wherever they might have. In other parts of the United States, they'll send them the money, buy the tickets, and then from there, they take off and wait for their court hearing at a later time. As you know, most of the time, it might take 3 to 4 years before they have a court hearing. That generally is what's happened under many administrations, Obama, Bush, and of course now under Trump. The only difference is, you know, Trump is trying to hold as many people to, quote, get rid of the catch and release. So he's holding a lot more people. Therefore, the detention beds or the nonprofit facilities are just really, you know, completely full. And that's why they're still allowing people where they take them out and drop them off at bus stations so they can find family members in other parts of the country.
Hmm. Now, I want to play a piece of tape for you, Congressman Cuellar. This is from Tuesday night when the president addressed the nation from the Oval Office. And here's what he said about the growing number of migrants at the border.
Every day, Customs and Border Patrol agents encounter thousands of illegal immigrants trying to enter our country. We are out of space to hold them, and we have no way to promptly return them back home to their country.
That's the president on Tuesday. Representative Cuellar, I mean, the administration has asked, yes, of course, for $5 billion for a border wall or fence. But in their appropriations request, they've also said, look, we would like to have $800 million to respond to these urgent humanitarian needs that are coming with taking all these migrants into custody. Is there a way, I know Democrats are adamantly opposed to any funding for a border wall, but is there a way to appropriate that, at least that $800 million that DHS says it needs to cope with the situation at the border?
Absolutely. And we're, you know, we've done that. Well, we've provided money for space and for medical officers. We've done a lot of that in the past. But the problem is that the president doesn't really want to hear any of that. He just wants to focus on the border wall because his campaign promise was to build a wall. And the other part of his campaign promise was to let Mexico pay for it. So that's what he's obsessed with. That's what he's focusing in. He thinks that the only border security is by having a wall. And he's just wrong. And what we need to do is look at personnel, technology, make sure we have the right practices because, you know, a lot of times the drug organizations and the smuggling organizations will change tactics, and we need to change tactics there. And that's what we need to focus on. Look, let me give you an example of what's happening right now. Border Patrol, under the Obama administration, we were at 21,400 and something, almost 21,500. Right now, we're short about 2,000 men and women in Border Patrol. We're about a 19,400. So what does the administration do? They put out a contract for $297 million to help them hire Border Patrol. Well, they just awarded out of that contract, they just let go $14.8 million. You know how many Border Patrol they hired with that, with the 14.8? Two of them. Now, I don't know if one of them is Captain America or what's so special, but if you're going to spend $14.8 million, I'd rather spend that money on retention bonuses so we can hire and retain those Border Patrol, and that's what we need to focus on. Technology, a lot of that technology, the aerostats, mm-hmm. the drones, the cameras that the military use, if it works for the military, it should work for us.
Okay.
So, again, we got to be smart on how we do this. Finally, if I can ask,
sure.
you know, just say this. Stop drugs. He talked about stopping drugs. Most drugs will come through ports of entry. not in between ports. So if you want to stop drugs, modernize those ports of entry, put the personnel, put the x-ray machines, and that's how you're going to stop drugs.
So, Congressman Cuellar, though, let's focus for a second more on the influx of migrant families, right? In November, there was the highest number ever, more than 20,000, family units, I should say. I mean, what I understand the Democrats, including you, are very critical of the administration's treatment of these families, but what is the Democratic plan or solution to stem the influx of parents with children, or to help deal with these migrant families?
Look, I live on the border, and I've seen how the typical profile of somebody coming across has changed. In 20, 30 years ago, it was a young man that was coming over to come work, get money, send the money back to the family, go back, and then come back again. Almost like a temporary guest worker, if I can say that. Now we are now seeing family units, sometimes unaccompanied kids, or they're coming over here. So the profile has changed. So we got to ask ourselves, what's happening in those countries? So back in 2014, 2015, I sit on the appropriations, we added and I pushed very hard for this, to put $750 million a year to help the Central American countries so we can go ahead and provide security, create more jobs over there so less people will come over here. What's happening right now? Out of that money that's been appropriated, there's about $800 million that are still in the pipeline that the administration hasn't let go. They cut down the funding for those countries. If there's a problem with those three countries, Guatemala, El Salvador, Honduras, then we need to keep working with those countries so less people come over here. Finally, the last thing we did, back in 2015, we added $80 million to help Mexico secure the southern border. They were stopping at that time 220,000 people a year that were coming over to the U.S. that Border Patrol would have never seen because they were stopped over there. So, again, my point is this. Either you play defense on the one-yard line called the U.S.-Mexico border, where we spend $18 billion a year, or we play defense on their 20-yard line and put a little bit of money in Central America, Mexico, to address some of those core issues.
Are you saying that the money wasn't adequately or appropriately used even under the Obama administration?
No. What I'm saying, they took a long time to get that. But every year, we started off at $750 million for Central America under the Obama administration. And we had a lot of meetings with those countries, with the presidents, with the ambassadors. We finally agreed to where the money was going to be spent with those three countries. Then when the Trump administration came in, they lowered that down from $750 million a year. They lowered it down to $595 million, even though we wanted more, but the Republicans control everything. Now we're going to change that. Now we're in. But under the Trump administration, there is money that's been obligated for the last couple of years that's already obligated. It has already been appropriated. And there's about $800 million in the pipeline that we can get over to them. And I've talked to the president of Honduras. I've talked to other ambassadors from those three countries. And they're saying, when are we going to get the resources? We're trying to address the situation here, but there's $800 million is still stuck. So what I did is I put a spending plan so they can appropriate, or so they can release that money or those resources down to those areas and address the economy and the security issues in those three Central American countries.
Okay. And last question, Congressman, that's the big picture about dealing, as you said, with the issues in the Central American countries themselves. But once again, regarding the families that are already, and the family units that are already here at the border, do Democrats have a plan to assist or to alleviate this problem?
Yes. And in fact, in appropriations, I've added language there to and resources to make sure that if anybody's detained, that we take care of those people, that families are not separated, and to get immigration judges so they can get the hearings as soon as possible so people will know if they're going to stay or go back, depending on their asylum or credible fear. They've done that. So we've done that, and we intend to do more. And so we have a plan. The only thing, our plan for border security doesn't include a wall. Finally, let me say the last thing. The president keeps talking about a crisis over there, and I have to say this. The latest FBI statistics, and I do this every year, the national murder rate in the United States is 5.3 murders per 100,000. The the border crime rate for murders is lower than the national crime rate. So when the president visits McAllen, the murder rate there in McAllen is about 4.8 murder rates, which is lower than the national crime rate. Washington, D.C., where the president's at, is the murder rate is 16.7 murder rate. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot more dangerous here in Washington, D.C., and I'm not talking about politics. I'm talking about the murder rate, than where he's going to be in McAllen, Texas. It's safer there, and that's the safest place he's going to be at when he visits the border.
Well, Congressman Henry Cuellar, he's a Democrat representing Texas's 28th Congressional District. Congressman, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
John Burnett, NPR Southwest correspondent, you've been patiently listening to the congressman there. We got about